Thomas Village Baptist Church. Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to Thomas Village Baptist Church. It's been a couple of weeks. We want you to feel welcome whether you're in the parking lot or on Facebook or in-house. And we're thankful you came out to worship with us today. And I'm thankful that the good Lord didn't answer any prayers for snow this morning.
Amen, brother.
And, way of announcements, there'll be a visitation for Sister Catherine Ward tomorrow night from 5 to 7. The bulletin says that the contributions are available, but they have been mailed out, the statements, and remember to sign up for the celebration of marriage. The sign up sheets in the lobby, and the sowing bees are not going to meet again until March. And remember the ongoing activities on the back of the bulletin. And if you're a visitor, there's a tire out in the bulletin that you can place in the offering box on your way out, or if you have a need. Let's remember those on our prayer list and remember each other and our neighbors and the sick and Pastor Brian and his family. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love and mercy and grace, and most of all your Son Jesus and what he did, does, and will do for us. Father, I pray that your blessings will be at this service and your Holy Spirit will fill each of us. And Lord, pray that your blessings be of Pastor Brian and as he brings your message, and I pray that we'll apply it to our lives. Father, we pray for those on the prayer list and pray that your healing hand will touch and bless them in a way only that you can. Father, we pray for the lost and pray that they will know you, your Son Jesus, as their personal Savior, and pray that we'll go out and tell people about Jesus. And all things in your will, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
Y'all get to be the opening act this morning. So let's all stand and sing a couple songs. We're going to sing number 249. Open up this service. Glorify thy name.
Thank you.
Turn back a couple pages, number 236.
We'll be in the book of Romans, chapter 2. Romans, chapter 2.
Okay. 236.
Sister Nancy, Children's Church, don't all of you leave me. I ain't preached in 2 weeks, so at least I need a few in here just to make eye contact with or something like that. No, it is good to be back in the house of the Lord. Romans chapter 2 this morning. Romans chapter 2, we'll be beginning in verse 4. We'll probably focus on verse 4, verse 5, and then tonight we'll come back and finish out the scripture. But praise God, it is good to be with you. I tell you, New Year's and Christmas, that's an odd time. And so you kind of get thrown off your schedule. You know, you get run out of your rut a little bit. And then you get winter coming in. And winter, I know it's needful at times for safety, but I hate not being able to worship together. I hate for us not to be able to see one another. And just like before, when I yelled at you, the reason I had to yell is because you were fellowshipping with your brothers and sisters, and that's good stuff. That's good. A pastor enjoys to see that. And as you're turning to Romans chapter 2, and I like to see you hanging around after church talking, man. It's just good to see. But do we have any words of praise or testimony this morning before we get going? Amen. Amen, sister. It is good to see you. Thankful that God's brought you back. Anybody else this morning? Amen. Amen, Sister Robin. We're thankful for what God's done with you as well. Anybody else? Amen. It is. It is. You know what? When you ain't had water in a long time, water's good, ain't it? And when you ain't been around, I heard somebody else over here. Bucky? Just giving praise to be here. You've been out with teeth, mouth issues, ain't you? And I tell you, this world is something else, man. Every day's a new adventure. Some of those adventures we don't want to go on. Some of those adventures we ask God to get us off of. But you have to admit that every day is an adventure as a child of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? If you don't remember anything about today's message or about Thomas Village Baptist Church, I pray as you're turning to the book of Romans chapter 2 that you remember this, that nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let Him today, hallelujah, He'll do even greater things than you could ever imagine. If I had a title for today's message, it would be this: Reason to Shout. Reason to Shout, or God is so good. God is so good. I'm going to ask you to stand with me in the honor of God's Word today. Let's do pray for Brother Wayne Bledsoe. He's at in Rose Hill preaching at Silver Leaf Baptist Church. Both services today. So lift him up. And I'm thankful that he was able to step up last week. We had somebody prepared to speak, but COVID entered into theirs, and Brother Wayne was faithful. Also, before we read, as you're turning to Romans chapter 2, and we think about a reason to shout, from now on, when we cancel morning service, that means that Sunday school, service, AM, WANA, and evening service has been canceled, but 2 o'clock is going to be on the chart. So stay tuned. When you hear services canceled, go ahead and assume 2 o'clock service is there. And by Lord willing, by 11:30, we'll let it be known whether we can have it 2 o'clock, okay? But I tell you, I miss it. I need to have it. And we don't want nobody getting out and hurting yourself, but if you can, we're going to meet at the house of the Lord, okay? A reason to shout, or God is so good. Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and thy impotent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Who will render to every man according to their deeds? To them who by patience continuance in well-doing seek the glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doth evil, of the Jew first and also to the Greek. But glory, honor and peace to every man that worketh good, the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. Now I want to read that again out of the Christian Standard. Or what? Do you despise the riches of God's kindness, restraint, and patience, not recognizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? But because of your hardened and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath. When God's righteous judgment is revealed, He will repay each one according to their works. Remember, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Verse 7, eternal life to those who, by persistence in doing good, seek glory, honor, and immortality, but wrath and anger to those who are self-seeking and disobeying the truth, disobeying the truth, and obeying unrighteousness. There will be affliction and stress for every human being who does evil, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. For there is no favoritism with God. You may be seated as we go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You and I praise You for this day. I'm thankful, Heavenly Father, that You do all things well. And God, You know, Heavenly Father, Lord, where we're at, what we've been through this week. My situation may be different from others, but Lord, that doesn't mean that it's any more heavy or any less heavy than the storms and the trials that we went through. And God, I praise You today that this is Your place. We are Your people. We wear the name of Your Son. And God, we also wear the blood of Your Son, and we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And today I ask You to forgive me of my sins, and I pray that You'll take the Word of God and You will teach us what it means to be Your child. You'll teach us to understand how good You truly are, and that through that goodness You will stir something within us that maybe has never been stirred, or maybe it's dwindled down and it needs to be stoked and reheated. So God, today I thank You for those that are listening by Facebook, maybe watching out in the parking lot, and for those that made the effort to come out. We lift up Brother Wayne today and Silverleaf and all other pastors, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. I do miss the church. I do miss being with you. This week, it was a privilege. Tuesday night, we had our deacons meeting, and it was just good to be in a room with brothers and sisters in Christ. We dealt with some issues, we read some scripture and studied, and we had a good time together. A lot of people would think, I don't want to go to those business meetings. Probably many a pastor would say they don't want to go to a deacon's meeting. But God really blessed me. But like I said, in case you don't know, there's been a lot happened at the Gunner home this week. And I'm not saying that it's any greater or any less than the situation you've been through. Remember Job chapter 14, verse 1 says, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. But I want to just catch you up. Last week on Friday, we got a phone call that Amy, she was supposed to have a surgery. We've told you about that. And this was the third rescheduling. And so it was set up on Friday morning. They gave us a call and said, if you can be there, we'll be there, because they were looking at the weather coming. Well, that afternoon we get a phone call and they've postponed that again due to, I think, the surgeon got COVID. And so the same time as that was going on, we received a phone call about our precious sister, Catherine, and how that she did not have long here on this earth, and that God carried her into her heavenly home. And as Brother Gary would say, she has graduated and she's gone on ahead. And so me and Amy, we went off on the weekend, and then we came back. We was a little bit frustrated because, like I said, this is the third thing that's been postponed. But we got home Monday. On Tuesday morning, I went over to Brother Paul's house and was going to get back in my rut. You know, we're going to get back into our thing. And got a phone call that Maddie had passed out again. And so I met Amy down at Weiniger's. Hallelujah. We were able to get in there. They said that she had a tumor about the size of a cutie, a tangerine, about that size. And it needed to come out. And so the next day, they were able to get her into a specialist. But we woke up that morning with no hot water. And so I thought, this is no problem. I went and got me a 50-foot water hose, hooked it up, turned it open, and guess what? It was filled with sediment, and there wasn't no water coming out of that thing. But praise God, I worked on it all day before I realized I didn't have the water cut off. I mean, it was just one of them days. Literally, I thought I had the water cut off, and if you ever changed the element, I was doing the unscrew it a little bit, let the water flow out, catch it in a bucket, put the element back in, and do it. Well, I forgot that I still had pressure on the tank. And I went to take that thing out, and that thing went woof and shot out of there. That water shot straight down my throat, and I started going like that. And Amy was on the phone, and she said, gotta go. And she thought I'd done been electrocuted that day. Praise God. God is good. Amen. I about drowned. I didn't electrocute that day. But Maddie got into a specialist. We were able to do that. And then the next day, God put some men around me that gave me some help, and I was able to fix it, change the thermostat on that. And then we found out that they wanted Maddie at the hospital or at the treatment at 6:30 on Friday morning. And then Friday afternoon, the princess was back home. She's bruised, she's sore, she's healing up. But she had all the people come out there. I felt like a stranger in my own home. And I went down to my building and I built me a fire. That way, if Amy says, come to the house, I can say, no, the fire might get out and burn everything down. Even though it's about the size of my two fists, you know, that gives me an excuse. But I was standing there and I was thinking about everything that had gone on in that week. And I was looking up at my house. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God just fell on me. And I began to think how good God is to me. how good has God has been to me. And I raised my hands up and I began to praise Him and to tell Him good. Now, I'm not trying to be super spiritual here. I'll be honest with you. There were days where my mind, my emotions, and my heart would try to run away from me. You see, the heart is wicked above all things, and my human intellect is all about making me feel better. And you see, I would want to say, why? Why is all this going on? I literally, when the water heater fell, broke down, I called my daddy. I said, sometimes all you can do is laugh. All you can do is laugh. But God has blessed me. I mean, you think about this. How many of you have ever heard of them diagnosing a tumor on Wednesday and cutting it out on a Friday? God's been good. Hey, He knew when on Friday before, when the cancellation of the surgery for my wife came, He was 100 steps ahead of me and knew that my daughter was going to need her mama, and I could not take care of two of them down at one time. You see, we can look at all these things and we can see all these things, but God is good. And all these things, that would, I'll be honest with you, I think one of the reasons why He allowed the water heater to break, I told Him I'd get a haircut if He fixed it, so I got to get a haircut. But you do stuff like that too. Don't even act like it. I just ain't been nowhere to get a haircut. But it's amazing how He moves. It's amazing how He works. He's 100 moves ahead of us, and He knew what we were going to need in the upcoming week. And you know, these things come along because, like I said, it comes in your mind. It says, oh, why does this happen to me? Why, oh, poor people, for me, why is this happening to me? I'll be honest with you. Like I said, if you've had a child and you've been worried about your child or you're worried about your spouse, sometimes it gets so heavy on you that you can't focus on anything else but the things that are happening negative in your life. I believe that God might have given me the water heater problem so that I wouldn't think about other things, so that I could go into my little square and work on that and focus on Him. And praise God, when we go to the doctors, I don't have a hill of beans of iota of what they're talking about. I'm just the guy there to keep everybody calm. But you know what? We need to recognize and realize that, yes, God is good. Every day He's good. Every minute of the day He's good. He has blessed me far above and beyond all that I would think or ask. And to be honest with you, right now, if there was no heaven, I could still say that my life has been blessed because of the truth of Jesus Christ. The Bible makes mention of His goodness. Listen, the 23rd Psalms, I mean, not even Christians know this verse. Over there in Psalms 23, verse 6, it says, surely, say it with me, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Say it, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, 34, it says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, His mercy endures forever. That's David. That's talking about David. And then you go over to Psalms 136, verse 1. I wanted to preach from here. Same topic, just go a little different direction. But he says the same thing. He says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endures forever. If you look up the word mercy in the book, in the Greek there, you know what it means? His goodness, His loyal love. Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and His loyal love and goodness will endure all the days of my life. And then if you look over in the book of Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, Jesus Christ declared the goodness of God. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more would your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask? I mean, praise God. Maddie is good. God has been good to me. Man, when it come up with Maddie, when I got the phone call about her, you know what went in my head? Is it something that we know about, or is this something new? Is it COVID? Is it the flu? Is it that she's having migraines in her head? And we knew that she was having some problems in a specific area, but I'm going to tell you what, in this post-COVID lifestyle, hey, you never guess. You don't know what's going on, but praise God, I got to thinking on Friday afternoon, instead of thinking, why me? Praise God, I know other families that they are on their third and fourth and fifth surgery with their child. Some in here hear you've been through that. I've got a friend, the Clements, but Riley has been through so many surgeries. And so I say, yes, he is good. And those of you that went through those surgeries with your children, hey, remember this, praise God, at least you got them to take them to a surgery for. You see, there are so many things. Life is hard, amen? Sometimes it's less hard. But even at its best, things are still a little difficult. But in the midst of it all, hallelujah, God is good. Will anybody here just say, God is good this morning? I mean, whether you feel it or not, say it. God is good. But let me ask you this. Do we live our daily lives in a fashion that declares that God is good to the world around us? Huh? Like the goodness of God is a reality in our life. Like the goodness of God has impacted my day-to-day living. And that because He has been so good to me, I'm going to let my life and let my mouth declare the goodness of the Lord even in the darkest of situations. You see, again, I'll tell you, my body wanted to complain. My emotions wanted to get a hold of me. But praise God, His mercy and His goodness will endure forever. So I ask you, do you live today in a way that His goodness has affected you? Does His goodness motivate you? Does the goodness of God stir you on the inside? Or is it just a phrase and a catchy thing like Psalms 23 verse 6 that we write on, we put it on our Facebook page, we put it on our walls, but yet we don't live out and try to let the truth of God overwhelm the emotions and the heartfelt things and the desire to make ourselves happy. Hey, just walking through life, praise God, I have the favor of God upon me. But I want you to look at this as we think about what's going on. This passage of Scripture that I read to you this morning, if you jump back to Romans chapter 1, what you see is this, is the beginning about Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Paul begins to declare the sinfulness or the guilt of the Gentiles. They called Greek here, but the Greek and the Gentile, you can basically interchange those words, and it means those that are not Hebrews. Those that live outside the law of God. And he begins to tell them, he says that the Greek, the Gentiles, they're guilty in the eyes of God. They are prideful of themselves. They've put themselves on the throne of their heart. They're prideful in their knowledge. So much so, they think they're so smart that they don't even need me. And instead of worshiping the true God, they have begun to worship the creature, animals and birds and even humans. They worship themselves, the creation, more than the Creator. He says they've been taken up and taken over by their sexual sins and their pervertedness, openly rejecting the teachings of God. And He says, guess what? I gave them over. They love the creature so much, He gave them over to carnality. You know what? It's almost, when you read Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 18 and on, it is a description of the world, but specifically America. We hear a lot about Mother Earth these days, but what's happened to our Father God? Huh? Think of all the efforts that's going on a green campaign. All the money that's being put into green right now. And how much is being done for the glory of Jesus Christ? How many today will stand up in the face of persecution and hard times and say, yes, my God is good to me. I have a reason to shout. You see, as He's talking to these things, as He's talking to these people, He's talking about them. And listen, He describes the Gentiles, there in Romans chapter 1, verse 29, and following, it says, and they did not think it worthwhile to acknowledge God. God delivered them over to a worthless man to do things morally wrong. They are filled with all unrighteousness. They're evil, they're greedy, they're wicked, they're envious, they're murderers, they quarrel, there's deceit, there's malice. They are gossipers and slanderers, and they hate God, and they're arrogant, they're proud, they're boastful. They invent evil things. My goodness, they're making diseases today that will kill 50% of the population. Why do you even meddle with that stuff? They're disobedient to parents, undeserving, untrustworthy, unloving. You know what they are? In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we're deserving of His judgment and His punishment. But what we've got to remember is as He moves here into chapter 2, He begins to lay out not only are the Gentiles guilty in God's sight, but guess who else is? The Jews. The Jews, they're guilty in God's eyes. You see, the Jews were the one that God had called out, and He said, I will be your God and you shall be my people, and I'll favor you and I will bless you and I will be good to you. I will give you the law. I will give you the land. I will be good to you. But what happens to them? They go back and they begin to want to be like the ones around them. We want to look like Greek. We want to sound like Greek. We want to have the things of the Greek. One of the biggest questions when I taught youth was this: how much like the world could I look like and still go to heaven? That's what the youth would ask me. Wonder where they got that from. They got it from mom and daddy. How much like the world can we look? And see, as he's writing to the Jews this morning, who were the old covenant people of God, we can look at this scripture and we can consider it today as the lost world compared to the Christian world. It's like us today that we've been called and we've been told to be the image of God. Listen, listen, we hear the purpose of being the child of God over in the book of Joshua chapter 2 verses 10 through 11. And it says this: for we have heard how your God dried up the waters of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and you did to Sihon and Og, the two Amorite kings, you completely destroyed across the Jordan. And when we heard this, we lost heart and everyone's courage failed because of you. Why? For the God, your God, is the God of heaven and earth. You see, He called the Israelites to show His goodness and His power on their life, to tell the world that there is a God who rules and reigns. And today, Thomas Village and everyone who's in the sound of my voice, we are His people. He has chosen us. He has favored us. And it is through us that He wants to touch the world around us. But I'm going to tell you this, if we're going around, oh, poor pitiful me. Why does this happen to me? And I understand, you know, there's things that pop in our head that we can't help, but here's the difference. If the bird, you can't help the bird from going into the tree, but you can keep it from resting. You can keep the bird from sitting on the branch. How do you run that bird off? You take the truth of God and you put it in your brain and you let it skidding with the goodness and mercy. If y'all don't know what skidding is, that's what you tell the dog to go and do to the person you don't want up at your house that day. Skidding. And you know, that's what the truth of God's Word will do. When worry and anxiety and all that, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God will move in our life, and those things that come against us will be torn down. You see, we have been called. It says over in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, we've been called to be a city on a hill. In John chapter 13, verse 34, it says we're to show Christ's love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, it says we are literally the embodiment of Jesus Christ Himself. And then over in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, we see that we're to pursue the salvation of others. You see, we are God's people today. And it is through us that He has chosen to show His goodness to the world. So not only is Paul beginning to call them out, today in our spirit we can recognize that is Paul, or is God Himself through the Scripture today, calling us out, reminding us that there is a reason to shout, and that God is good to you no matter how you feel, no matter what you see, and no matter what the world is telling you, because His truth cannot return void. Listen, in verse 24, before we can truly give God the glory for His goodness, we've got to understand what God's goodness is. If we don't know what good is, then how can we be happy for it? Amen? Look what he says there in verse 4. He says, or what? Do you despise the riches of God's kindness, restraint, and patience, not recognizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance. Now, here Paul seems like he's being a little bit passive-aggressive as he's asking a rhetorical question. Do you despise the riches of God's goodness? One I read behind says, do you despise the riches of God? Do you look down on the riches of God? Are you undervaluing the riches of God? How do we undervalue God's riches, God's goodness, when we do not live like it's made a difference in our life? When we live like that. You see, this question here, nobody today would say, oh, I despise God's goodness, would we? I mean, every good Christian, everybody, a good Southern Bible Belt person, are we thankful for God's riches? Are we thankful for God's goodness? We're going to say yes. But what we see is this, is that while we may say one thing, our life tells us a whole other thing. You see, just think about this. When I began to talk about riches right then, as a human being, what do we think about riches? We think about silver, gold. We think about diamonds and jewels, houses and fine cars. Cold, hard cash, buddy. That's what today that the world defines as riches. And if we're not careful, we'll let the same worldly definition of riches dictate how we see the goodness of God. If God haven't given us a new car, if God ain't give us the best bank account, if God ain't had somebody leave us in their will with a lot of fine property, then we won't say, well, has God been good to you? Has God, see, if we're depending on that, then we'll never recognize that God is being so good, and we'll always go through life saying, poor, poor, pitiful me. We will. And that's the problem today in the church, because so-called Christians, they're not being led by the Word of God, they're being led by their emotions. They're being led what feels good in the moment. But praise God. What does Jesus say? See, or what does the Holy Spirit through Paul say? Paul says that God has bestowed on you and I great riches. Great riches. And then he tells us what those riches are. What they're good. Look there in verse 4 it says, God's kindness, God's restraint, and God's patience. Before we can truly celebrate the goodness of God, we got to understand what the goodness of God is. The first thing that he says there, the riches of God, is God's what? God's mercy. You remember over in Psalms chapter 136, verse 1, where it says, the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. But you remember I said if you looked up mercy in the Hebrew, that it means loyal, love, and goodness. Well, guess what? When you look up mercy in the New Testament, guess what it means? Love, kindness, loving, loyalty, and goodness. You see, the riches of God are His goodness. You see, Paul is beginning to tell us why God is so good to us. Have you ever thought? Well, see, what happens is that when we don't recognize the goodness of God, then we will not ponder why God is being so good to us. When we just see the world and say, poor, poor, pitiful me, instead of recognizing all the good things that God have gave us, then what? We miss out. We miss out. God's goodness, His loyal love, His mercy, hallelujah. How is God's goodness revealed in our life? Number one, God's good grace. God's good grace, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace. Hallelujah. What is grace? It is that favor that He looks upon us with. It is that blessing that He pours out on us. It is that gift that is undeserved. And praise God, as Christians, it is that salvation. But can I tell you this? Even if you're not saved today, God's grace and favor is being poured out on you because your next breath is held into His hands and He's holding on to that today. Hallelujah. My God is good to me. Why? Because He lets His grace run freely in my life. But not only that, God is good. Why? Because of God's good mercy. God's good mercy. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 24. But God, being rich in mercy because of a great love with which He loves us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sin, has made us alive together with Christ. By grace You have been saved. Praise God. He's given me mercy. He's given me grace in my life. Meaning, He gave me His blessings. What is grace? The acronym. God's riches at Christ's expense. He looks on me with favor and He blesses me. But not only that, what is mercy? It is God's good mercy. Mercy is pity, compassion, and not giving me what I do deserve. Praise God, I am an ant in the shadow of God, and I deserve for Him to bring His hand of wrath and righteous judgment upon me. But yet He looks at me and says, mercy. Mercy, my daddy used to call grace and mercy the hound dogs of heaven. That's why the idea of Skidham got in there, because he says, praise God, from the day that we're born, He looses the hound dogs of goodness and the hound dog of mercy, and they're trailing us, and we're running to get away from them. Ain't that crazy? We run. Hey, but not only that, remember, we've not got, there's 3 points. This is 5 under the first one, so you're going to be here till noon or tomorrow. But not only that, God's good grace, God's good mercy, and then God's good provisions. God provides for me, Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, and my God shall supply all your needs according to what? To His riches in glory. It's not what I see. It's not what I feel. It's not what I have. It's what He has and what He wants to bestow on me today. Oh my goodness. Have y'all ever thought about when you get to heaven one day and all the good gifts that God wanted to give us are over there in a pile and we miss out on them? And He's like, I wanted to give you this all your life. You remember this time when you was going through this? Yeah, I had this one right here for you. But you know what? You was poor, poor, pitiful me in it. And I couldn't get into you. You wouldn't let me in. Today we hold Him back by our negativity, our sinfulness, our selfishness of why me. Really and truly, we should be asking, why not me? Why not me? But not only His provisions, then we have God's good things. Do you know that? God, all, life is hard. It's under the curse of sin. We, and a lot of the stuff we do, we bring on ourselves by the way we live our life. But you know what He said? He says, as a good Father, He wants to give you and I good things. And let us enjoy those good things. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, and for the riches of in this personal age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set high hopes of uncertain riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Have you ever thought about that? Everything you enjoy, every good thing, God has given it to you. Your family, your gatherings, praise God. In 2017, I should have died, but God has gave me I don't know how many more years, but guess what? He's let me see my daughter become a woman. He's let me see her become the homecoming queen, and she's about to go into UT. And praise God, she's become a lady, and she can take care of herself. My son, he's about to make a man. He's still growing into one. And you know what? He's going to be the valedictorian. I claim it in Jesus' name, and God has allowed me to see it. So if He is to take my life away tomorrow, praise God, He'd give me 3 to 4 more years that I could enjoy with them. You see, we don't look and say, God, what are some other good things? Well, some people like to meet with the family. Some people like to hang. But you know what else? Good, quiet, alone time is good too, ain't it? And you look out here and you see all the beautiful things. That's God giving you good things to enjoy. He allows us snow days. I hate a snow day, but my wife and my youngins pray for me, get giddy. Literally, my son, he'll lay in the bed and be dragging, and I'll say, look outside, and he'll see the snow, and he'll pop up and be like, goody, goody, let's do this, let's do that. I've never seen a head of effect, but it's a good thing that God has given to him. You know what? He allowed me to see my son and daughter born. He's going to let me see my grandson and my granddaughters be born. Oh, hallelujah. God has been good to me. Anybody want to say amen? Amen. And then the last one of God's goodness. As we recognize that what God values, the riches of God are not the same thing. God's good strength. God's good strength. Over in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 16, that according to His riches, of His glory, He might grant to you the strength with power that through His Spirit in your inner being. The word strength there means the ability to get up. I don't know about you, but man, especially in the past 2 years, there's been days when it's been hard to get out of bed. There's been days when it's been difficult. And those of you, you're caretaking right now, or you've come through caretaking. But you know what? Every day so far, I don't know about tomorrow, but every day so far, God has given me the strength physically, emotionally, and spiritually to rise up and to go on at least for one more hour. My God has been good to me. Why? Because He supplies my strength on a daily basis. I don't know how people don't do it without Jesus. I don't. And if you don't have Jesus today, praise God. He wants to. He's already been good to you, but man alive, you don't know goodness till you know Jesus. But then there's, hey, praise God, God's riches don't stop there. Yes, there's the riches of God's goodness. But then read on, he says, not only that, but what about God's restraint? That's another example of what God tells us to value. The King James, I think it used the word forbearance, doesn't it? What does that mean? That simply means that God is holding back or refraining or abstaining from something. What it really means here is that He's holding back His hand of judgment on us. Praise God. The Bible, this is true. This is true. That there is coming a day that judgment will fall. Judgment is coming. And when we think about judgment, we, as Peter taught, we go all the way back to where? To the flood. Why? Because the judgment and the wrath of God came and He destroyed all evil. And inside of it, every human being, except for Noah, there was an evil spirit. Not a saved spirit. But you know what else? Not only is God's hand of protection and His hedge of protection around us spiritually, but praise God, I want you to think about in Job chapter 1 verse 10. Satan went to God about Job and said, "Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands and his possessions have increased in the land." Praise God. You know what? How many arrows and attempts at my life and something that's coming along to try to destroy me and wipe my legs out from under me. But because God in His good restraint, He's put His hands around me and the works of the enemy cannot come against me. Hallelujah. Today, God's goodness is given to me, but also His good restraint is one of the greatest riches I'll ever receive for Him, that He does not let His hand fall. A hedge of protection. Do you know that God does not want to send anybody to hell? If you look over in the book of Matthew chapter 25 verse 1 and over in the book of Revelations, I couldn't find the specific verse, but in Matthew 25 verse 41, we're directly told that hell has been created for Lucifer and his angels, aka messengers, those that carry and live under his message. Do you know what today? The Bible, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Praise God today, yes, not only is His hedge of protection around me, but even with lost people in the world today, it is because His hands is over them and holding back that He has not allowed the carpet of life to be pulled out from under them and then plunge headlong into eternal hell. It is His restraint that is working. Hallelujah. Today we need to recognize that our lost loved ones. Jonathan Edwards preached a sermon called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. He would keep his head down and he would read like this right here, never looking up. It was almost monotone. He would read it, but they said that the power of God would fall so greatly that the people there would feel like their feet were beginning to fall and they would grab on to a post and hold on to it. Why? Because they didn't want to plunge into hell. Praise God, we need to get serious about our praying. And we need to be thankful that God has not called our loved ones home yet, but we need to be living and telling about the mercy, goodness, and grace of Jesus Christ while we got them. While we got them. Man, there's a reason to shout today. Why? Because in His riches, His goodness, His restraint. But then the third thing we see is His patience. His long-suffering, I believe is what the King James says. What is that? That means He's enduring for a long season. He's slow to anger and judgment. He is patient. Listen, Psalms 86, verse 5, "But Thou, O Lord, art full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth." Psalms 103, verse 8, "Lord, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy." And we see it many times in the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant. He poured blessings on them. He poured it out upon them. But they would reject Him in year after year. And then He would let them fall. But when they came back to Him, what would He do? He made them back. Just like in Nehemiah. They were conquered by Babylon. But praise God, after 70 years, what did He do? He allowed them to come back, rebuild the temple, rebuild the wall. How many of us, praise God, are thankful for the riches of God's patience? I've just read out of Psalms. I can't help think about of Psalms. You can't help think but of King David. Beautiful Psalm. And man, think about what God put up with him. An ungodly relationship with Bathsheba. One, he wasn't where he's supposed to be because he should have been out at battle because it was the time of year that kings and men went off to fight. But he wasn't where he was supposed to be. He was at home. Then he got caught up in a sexual, ungodly relationship and with Bathsheba. And to keep it hidden, he had Uriah be killed. And then after things got better from there, God told him not to do a count of the people. And he went ahead and did an ungodly census and brought reproach on them. But hallelujah, God was long-suffering with David. God is long-suffering with the nation of Israel. Hallelujah. God is long-suffering with the nation of America. And you know what else? What does it say in verse 11? God is not the respecter of persons. And hallelujah, it doesn't matter where you're at, whether you've backslidden, you've never been saved, or what might be going on, God is open to you. Why? You see, what do we think about when we think of riches? Gold, silver, homes, Bentleys, cash, all those things. But what does God say His goodness is? Oh, my goodness. Or what His riches are. His riches are His goodness, His restraint, and His long sufferings. You see, praise God, it doesn't matter what we're going through. One, it can always get worse. And two, God is being so good to me. But see, what we've did, we've tried to understand the riches of God. The goodness of God, that's what we've looked at. Why do we need to understand the riches of God? Because when we understand the riches of God, then we'll understand the purposes of the riches. We'll understand the purposes of His goodness, His restraint, His long-suffering. It says it right here. Do you not recognize that God's goodness is to lead you to repentance? Notice it says, do you not recognize? King James says, not knowing. That means not having the information, or it could mean that you have the information, but instead of letting it move you, you ignore it. You might have the information. You might know that God is good. You might know that His mercy endures. You might know that His grace is in your life, but you live as though you don't know it. You live as though you've never experienced the goodness of God. That we, a lowly creation, are the apple of our Creator's eye, and He has made us in His image. He was not willing to let us die to our own sins, but He sent His own Son to die for us. See, that is love. That is goodness. And do we let our lives shake us up that day? God has been good to me. Praise God. I have His mercy. I have His grace. He supplies me with all things. And I'm going to ask you this. What things do we really need? Huh? Well, I just want to think about that. He supplies all our needs. You know what? The other day, and I came down here and I basically took me a quick bath down there in the flower room, you know, where the big old thing is. There's a big sink down there, and they cut it home. And you know what? I cut it on. That water got hot. I stuck my hands in it. I was like, oh, my goodness. And you know what I did? I took a picture of it and said, here's hot water, and sent it to my wife. You know what? I was sure enough thankful for hot water that day. But I got to thinking, praise God, we got cold water running. How many of y'all were raised up without cold water? Or any in-house water? There's some that have been. But notice, what does it do? What is His goodness? What is His restraint? Why is He so good to me? It's nothing I've done. It's not about me. I deserve his punishment. But notice what he says. He says it's intended, or the purpose of it is to bring humanity, every man, woman, boy, and girl, to bring them to a place of repentance. Paul preaches repentance. Repentance is to change one's mind and to change one's will and to change one's way. You're heading in a certain direction. If you look there in verse 8, I believe it is, it tells us what we need to turn away from. Yeah, verse 8, self-seeking and disobeying the truth of and obeying unrighteousness. Putting ourselves as number one and then doing everything to make sure number one is satisfied. That's basically what he's saying. But not only did Paul preach repentance, who else preached repentance? John the Baptist. The New Covenant's Isaiah. What did he say? Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But you know what? John the Baptist wasn't the last one to come preaching repentance. Jesus Christ himself came preaching repentance. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And again, Paul points out, this is what God's goodness is. His kindness, His loyal love, His restraint, His long-suffering. And His long-suffering and all of that is to bring you to a place of repentance, a place where you turn from self and sin and satisfaction, and you turn to the God who loves you more than you can imagine. You see what has happened here in Romans chapter 2, verse 8. Paul is talking to the Jews and he's saying, guess what? You've done like the Gentiles. You've made yourself number one in your own heart. You seek to please yourself, and in pleasing yourself, you disobey my teachings. I want you to listen how Satan is described, Lucifer is described, in the book of Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. Above the stars of God, I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the far reaches of the earth. I will ascend above the heights of the heaven. I will make myself like the Most High. Narcissistic. You know, that means that he has an excessive interest and admiration for himself. Want to take a guess what the number one picture taken all over the world today is? What type? Selfie. I will ascend. You see, that's what it boils down to. That's what repentance is. So let me ask you this. Do you live your life in a way that says His goodness has impacted me? Not only has it is impacting me right now. That's why at some time in my life, I confess that, dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've broken your laws, but you said if I lay my life down and take up the cross, that you'll save me. And so, Lord, today I turn from self and I turn to you. I turn from my will to your will. I turn from my purpose to your purpose. That's what salvation is. But then what does he say? He says, no. Why do people not repent? There in verse 5. Because you're hardened and unrepentant heart. Hardened. I mean, I believe today that most people in our area, if you ask them if they were a Christian, they would tell you they were a Christian. But is the life that we live a declaration of the impact of His goodness on us? I mean, just ask yourself that. Oh, you can quote the verses, you can sing the songs, you can do all that. But are you living in, and I'm not saying I'm perfect. Believe you me. I asked why. I don't understand why God does this a certain day, but I believe this. He does all things well. And the more I look, the more I can see that He's 100 steps ahead of me. And when the times get so hard that all I can do is laugh or cry, they're not far apart. You know that? Laughter and crying are very close together. Sometimes when that's all I can do, that's all I need to do. And just say, God, you're good. God, you're good. But if you don't, what happens? He says that you're storing up wrath. If you don't repent and turn to Him, then you're storing up wrath. And you know what? In America, we're a lot like the Jews. You know why? Because we've had a lot of God's knowledge given to us. You see, when you compare chapter 1, the Gentiles, compared to the Jews, both of them sinning against God, running from God, the Greeks, the Gentiles, they would be like the poor beggar boy stealing $20 to live on. They just don't know any better. You know what I mean? But the Jews is like the CEO of a billion-dollar business who's stealing $200,000. Why? Because we should know better. God has given us the glorious light of His Scripture. And the Bible says that just like all of creation, 2 Peter, it says that it is storing up His wrath, building it up. Sometimes I thought my daddy'd be like that. You know, he's pretty easygoing. And Mom would say, he did this today. She'd come in tomorrow, he did this today. And then the next day she'd come in, he did this today. And you know, finally my daddy would have it up to here. And it's like all three of them just come out. Pow, 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 pow. And that's the way it is. The wrath of God is storing up. And it's going to be like that element. I didn't expect it. Didn't know it was coming. But it jumped out and got me. Praise God. Let me ask you today. Do you live a life that declares His goodness? Can you say, praise God, it ain't been the easiest, but my goodness at His goodness. I'm going to invite the piano player and the song director to come up here this morning, but there is a reason to shout. Listen to what it says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12. For through Him let us continually offer up sacrifices of praise to God, that is, the fruit of the lips that acknowledge His name. I recognize today that God has been good to me. It took a lot. It took some things to happen before I got to that place. And I'll be honest with you, I ain't got it down pat, but my heart's desire today is to say, God has been good to me, and I want my life to testify to His goodness in my life. Let me ask you today, maybe you're saved in here today. I'd say most of you would say, if I said, bow your hand, raise your hand, if you said, you'd raise your hand. But can I ask you this right now? Is God's goodness having effect in your daily life? Many of us, we just think about it, and we don't think about it. We just go on. But man, how awesome is it when you stop and think about the spiritual, the physical, the eternal, all that God, all the goodness He has in store. Maybe today you just need to come to the altar and say, God, You are good to me. Maybe you want to give a testimony to God's goodness. Maybe you just want to come face down before Him as an ant in His shadow and say, You're awesome. But let me ask you this today too. Have you come to a place of repentance? See, everything, life is hard. That's part of the curse. Inside of it, though, God is good. He gives us those precious times with our family. He allows us the strength to get up and to go day by day.